CO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei is warning of an all-out regional war if the U.S. intervenes in his nation's six-day conflict with Israel. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says President Trump's met with top advisors.
The president's main focus in that meeting, whether the U.S. should join Israel in striking Iranian nuclear sites, according to multiple sources. Doing so would appear to go against Trump's longstanding vow not to engage the U.S. in new foreign wars.
Record heat in the forecast for the Northeast. CBS's Rob Marciano.
I-95 on Sunday into the 80s. And into next week, we're looking at temperatures that will get into the 90s and maybe 100 degrees for a good chunk of the East Coast.
New report says countries are making progress on sustainable energy. The World Economic Forum's Espen Melum.
Most of the energy investments or the clean energy investments globally are going to advanced economies and to China. Only about 15% are going to emerging and developing countries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. We're learning which Wisconsin lawmakers were on the Minnesota shooter's so-called hit list. Lisa Hale reports.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin's office confirmed her name was on the manifesto of the Minnesota assassin. A spokesperson in Baldwin's office told Civic Media's Dan Schaefer that Baldwin was informed by law enforcement that she was included on the alleged shooter's list of names, and that she, quote, remains focused on the things that matter most here, honoring the legacy and life of Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, praying for the other victims who are fighting for their lives, and condemning this abhorrent, senseless political violence, end quote. 11 Wisconsin-based lawmakers are reported to have appeared on Vance Bolter's hit list.
And he allegedly posed as a police officer to get into lawmakers' homes. Now, Wausau police want you to know what to look for. Here's Lieutenant Phillips.
Patrol officers all wear a uniform. So they're going to have a standard uniform on. It's going to have the Wausau police patches on either shoulder. They're going to have a badge identifying them as a Wausau officer. You know, if any plainclothes officers, whether it be detectives or some of our other officers that don't wear that standard uniform, all of them, if they're going out for enforcement action, wear what it's called an outer carrier that's going to have police clearly on that. Their badge will be displayed on that as well.
If you are ever in question, you can ask to see their ID or call the police station to verify.
From chief down, if they're asked for, can provide or show the person their department-issued photo identification as well that's issued by the department. If anything came up, you know, we would look into that. It is a crime in Wisconsin to impersonate a peace officer.
I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers battle the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers take on the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, making his second career start for Milwaukee. The Brewers won for 10 last night with runners in scoring position on the way to a 5-3 loss to the Cubs. Pat Murphy.
You look at the box scores tonight. If you look at 15 box scores, there's going to be six teams that are something like that. You got to hit with guys in scoring position, and we didn't.
The Cubs now with a 6.5 game lead over Milwaukee in the NL Central. Hockey. The Florida Panthers skating past the Edmonton Oilers 5-1 to win the Stanley Cup for a second year in a row, 4-2. NFL, the Packers' new president and CEO says there's no immediate plans to renew the contracts of Matt LaFleur or GM Brian Gutekunst. I asked Ed Policy what will be his focus as he takes over.
Keep the Packers in Green Bay. The big things there will be continuing to maintain and evolve Lambeau Field so that it remains not just iconic but also state-of-the-art.
That's the new Packers president, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and maybe a stray afternoon thunderstorm and a high near 80. A slight storm chance this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, mid-50s. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs near 80. Currently at 64 degrees.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early, so
set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project, will be here to discuss the state happenings, national happenings, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, June 18th. I'm up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. We will be joined shortly by Earl Ingram, and then later Melissa Baldoff. James Kelly will give us an update from our Chippewa Falls newsroom as well. But first, here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us that there's some rain going on out there. And then there's going to be some more rain, and then there's going to be some heat. Some high heat.
You really simplify it, Pat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's basically what's going
to
happen.
It's wet and then it's hot. Thankfully, I don't have to give you the specifics. Brittany tracks all of those things. So here's where she says it's going to go.
Here we go. It's summer, right? Well, right. Not officially yet. Meteorologically, it is. But the first day of summer is just 2 days away, and we are definitely going to be feeling it. So here's what we've got going on this morning. It's upper 50s temperature-wise up north. We've got some sunshine. Lucky you. Down south, not the same. It is cloudy, overcast, low 70s, so a little bit warmer, and we've got some rain moving in. Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, you're about to get some. Also, more is moving into western parts of the state. South, a lot of southern parts of the state are going to get hit with some soaking rain today. We could see some thunderstorms embedded in there, too. And far southeast, you could see some potentially flash flooding events going on because you could get 1 inch to 2 inches of rainfall total throughout today. So areas down south, it's going to be a soaker. Up north, a little bit less of that. We will get cloudy and we will see chances for showers and storms, especially this afternoon and evening, but none of them are really looking strong or severe. So as we go through tomorrow, we are going to start to heat things up a little bit more. Upper 70s to the low 80s. Showers and storms are expected again in the afternoon, and then another round at night, which could be strong to severe. And then, of course, more on Friday as a warm front lifts through. Those have the potential to be strong to severe once again. And then we're going to be in the sauna. That's what I'm calling it, because dew points are going to be in the mid-70s, which is pretty oppressive. That is very muggy, hot, and humid conditions. Paired with temperatures in the 90s, our heat index is going to feel like 100 degrees on both Saturday and Sunday. So start hydrating right now.
So we've got grandkids coming to visit, the younger ones this weekend, 3 and 6 years old. And so at first we thought, well, okay, pontoon ride, that's going to be a must. But then we thought a little bit more about the forecast and decided that we got to head to the garage today. We got to dig out all those sprinkler toys.
There's a little
kid slip and slide, and of course all the little, the little water guns and things like that. So if anybody's interested, Kreitlow backyard, we'll have all the water toys out this weekend.
That is the best way to stay cool and have some smiles too. How adorable. I love it.
You know, when you mentioned the first day of summer, it gives me that every season changes. I get this whole thing about the earth, being on its axis the way that it is. And that's why, you have, like up at the North Pole, you're going to have 6 months of daylight, as opposed to 6 months in the wintertime of complete and total darkness. And it's still, I know this goes way beyond the weather, but why are we tilted the way that we are? It's 23.5 degrees. because I looked it up because that's what nerds do. But why? Why is it tilted that much, which gives us seasons and all those other good things? But, you know, there's speculation that maybe a long time ago, you know, there was a collision somewhere, you know, out there that knocked us off our axis a little bit. But
it sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like the kind of thing, you know, as some other planet went, oop, I'm just going to slide by you right there. Don't worry about me.
And they said, oop. Yep.
Yeah. They said, oop, as exactly they went by, happened. Of course. Yep. And so it's just that's just my every 3 month appreciation for having seasons, because trust me, there's a lot to be said for living in the Caribbean, and don't get me wrong, there was a lot of good stuff about it, but when you leave and then come back, you realize how much you missed actual seasons.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I'm a big fan of that. So sometimes you look at things with new eyes. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You're welcome. You too.
And there's my transition to looking at things with new eyes. And that would be bringing in Earl Ingram here to be talking about things that he covers in Milwaukee for Civic Media. There he is, the pride of Washington High School. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being here. When I say looking at things with new eyes, what I mean about Milwaukee is this. Sherry and I lived there from 1987 to 1991 while she was attending the medical college, and both our daughters were born at the old St. Luke's Hospital down there in Milwaukee. And as you know, with any major American city, it goes through its cycles. And the cycle in the late 80s, early 90s was not necessarily kind to Milwaukee. And I go back there now and look at it with a new set of eyes. And I fall in love with it all over again each time going down there at the improvements that are being made. Obviously, it is far from perfect. There's always work to be done. But the fact that there are people willing to do that work, and it leads us into one of the stories we wanted to share this morning, and that's the Milwaukee skyline, which back in 1987 was one building, you know, the old U.S. Bank building and whatever it's called now. That skyline looks a lot different after all these years, and there are folks around the country that have taken notice.
Well, actually, I'd say folks around the world.
Yeah.
Architectural Digest has rated Milwaukee skyline as one of the top 17 in the world. And that's an amazing accomplishment for the city of Milwaukee, considering it's in competition here in the United States. When you think about skylines, you think about New York City, Chicago, Seattle, you know, and those types of cities. And then you also think globally, you think about, Hong Kong, Dubai, Tokyo, Shanghai, Toronto, those are all spectacular skylines, and now Milwaukee is listed as one of those top 17. And so for people who live in this state who have not visited Milwaukee, they have no concept, no clue whatsoever about the beauty that is downtown Milwaukee and the skyline that continues to evolve.
Well, and again, it does so in a way that when you go, it's one of those smaller cities. Well, yeah, what you don't have there is you don't have the clutter. You have the diversity of the designs, which means the diversity of the usage that's in there. And again, it really reflects improvements that have been made in the city over time. And I mean, those improvements are, you know, continuing to this day. I mean, you've got something that's going up there. What's it going to be called, though? The largest ever timber constructed building, something like that?
It's called the Edison. It's mass timber, an engineered product created by combining layers of lumber into strong material touted for its environmental benefits and aesthetic appeal. Milwaukee had the largest building of that nature, and they held that for a few years, and then in Australia, okay, they eclipsed that tower that Milwaukee has had the honor of having the largest building, and we now turn around and we're eclipsing the one that they have in Australia. But beautiful, beautiful architecture, beautiful, beautiful building. And so again, if people who haven't been downtown Milwaukee, The aesthetics of it during the summer. We're about to kick off Summerfest on tomorrow. And if you haven't been to the Summerfest grounds and that lake that's has been developed to some degree, spectacular.
The building itself, that as Earl mentioned, is called the Edison, and it is going to be 32 stories tall, 378 apartment units there. And again, most of the materials will be coming from U.S. supplies, but not all of them by any stretch of the imagination. And I do recall seeing a story sometime back that, you know, Donald Trump's tariffs are going to cause some issues with construction here. Because, again, we get a lot of timber, say, from Canada, for example, one of our best allies. But Donald Trump is picking a fight with all of our allies here. And I can't even tell you for sure, Earl, if these tariffs on timber are going to affect the building of the Edison Tower. I don't know if they know, because with Trump, you get something one day and then you hear something else the other day, which, again, if you're building one of the largest ever, you know, mass timber buildings, that's got to be a little perplexing.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it probably is, because I don't know if that timber is produced here in this country. And so their plans for erecting this building had been in the making for somewhere around 3 to 5 years. And now they broke ground just the other day. And so, you know, we'll see. But after it's all said and done, it's going to be another beautiful, beautiful addition to what is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful downtown Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was looking at, I did just find an article from Tom Dakin in the Journal Sentinel about the imported materials that are there. And some of those imported materials are not going to arrive until spring of next year. And so apparently it's noted in the article here that creates a lot of uncertainty regarding how trade negotiations are going to ebb and flow over the next year or so here. But when all is said and done, because this mass timber type of construction is more environmentally sustainable, it is closer to carbon neutral, it's going to reduce construction costs. And again, it just comes back to the smart kind of construction that's going on in Milwaukee and some of these other cities, because, I mean, you know, Earl, anybody can slap something together, but when you actually put some thought into the process, you end up having a downtown that is much more, you know, workable as a result, and where people actually still want to work and play. And the funny thing is, for all the grousing you hear from some of our suburban friends out there, they still need a place like Milwaukee to come work and play.
Well, absolutely. And that will be forthcoming in the next month or so with all the different festivals and all the different activities that take place in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, they sure will. Not the least of them being the Brewers taking on the Cubs. Now, they're doing that at Wrigley right now, but, you know, that Central Division showdown, you know, will be coming back here to Milwaukee before you know it. The Cardinals were just here in town last week. The Brewers, unfortunately, are on the losing end of yesterday's opener of that series with the Cubs. I believe the final score was 5-3 here. There was this two-run home run by Isaac Collins at one point. And unfortunately, Chad Patrick, the starting pitcher, just couldn't hold back a fifth-inning rally. So the Cubs go on to win by a score of 5-3. The Cubs are now up in the division, 6.5 games over the second-place Brewers. They'll go back tonight to Wrigley Field and try to even out the series. The pregame will be starting at 6:30 on several Civic media stations. Jacob Mizorowski will be pitching in his second ever major league game. And that's good news because, I mean, the kid had a no-hitter through 5 innings, but then was feeling some cramps and some soreness and left the game. I was fearing the worst, but apparently, you know, things are okay, that he's getting set to get started against the Cubs here again tonight. So you can hear that on several Civic media stations. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For those of you hanging here, we're going to continue our conversation with Earl Ingram. I think we'll get into a little Summerfest chatter coming up. And when we're all back together in our next half hour, we'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff. That's all here from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. During our local segments, you can also join us on YouTube. Go to the 98.9 WXCO YouTube channel. In fact, if you've missed any of our discussions, you can go back to the YouTube channel. Just go to the WXCO 98.9 YouTube channel, and you can see our discussion we just had with Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library, or with the cast members and director of the Central Wisconsin Children's Theater and their show of Into the Woods coming this weekend. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will have a couple of different interviews. In fact, we will be joined, as we are every other week, by from the Grand Theater, Executive Director Sean Wright. And also, we're going to be talking about an event going on across the way. As I look out the window, I see across the way the Children's Imaginarium. And we are going to be talking about an event coming up on Friday of this week, as Julie Bowman, who is the Executive Director of the Imaginarium, They are joining up with the Marathon County 4-H to celebrate Dairy Month. And Julie will be bringing along a guest as well, so we will have her as well. So tomorrow, not just Sean Wright, as we do every other week, we will also be talking to Julie Bowman and a guest as well from the Children's Imaginarium.
Very nice.
And then coming up on Friday, we will be joined by Yi Leng Zhang, as they have a special event coming up. Of course, Yi now is the executive director of New Beginnings for Refugees. They are going to have an open house and volunteer appreciation event coming up on Monday of next week from 5 till 7 p.m. You can stop by their office at 903 North 3rd Street here in Wausau. The event will celebrate the dedication of the volunteers who play an essential role in supporting the mission of New Beginnings to assist refugee neighbors in our community. So all people here in the community are invited to join New Beginnings and Yi Leng Zhang for an evening of appreciation, networking, and inspiration. So we'll talk to Yi Leng Zhang about that. And also I'm planning on, I hope Yi will talk about it, but I'm going to talk to him because, of course, he ran for the state assembly last year.
He did.
Just get some of his thoughts on what we're hearing concerning the state budget. The budget process is continuing. So, you know, maybe tap his expertise on that as well.
Yeah.
So a lot to talk about and a lot of good guests coming up here over the next few days. But when we do have folks come in, sometimes they'll come in live during our segments and sometimes we'll have them come in because after the show is done, because when I am able to talk to them afterwards, we don't have to worry about the clock. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we don't have to worry about saying, okay, we have to take a, you know, a break right here, because during the show, I have specifically 7.5 minutes here. Me and Ian have 7.5 minutes for each of our segments.
It's not a lot of time.
We cannot go past it because the system automatically kicks it right in to the next segment.
Yes, it does.
So it's better then. And then when we have these conversations, we're able then to have posting on the YouTube channel unedited versions of our discussions, because sometimes because of the time constraints I have to edit for air and say, like, yep, our conversation we had with Robin Vargas in the first hour, you can go to the YouTube channel and hear it unedited. Last week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, when we had Christine Daniels on, we had her for like 37 minutes, and you can go back and be able to look back at our conversation with Christine Daniels as well. So again, if you want to go back and view and listen to some of the conversations we've had here in recent weeks, just go to youtube.com, search out 98.9 WXCO, and you'll be able to go back, see those interviews, see our segments. This segment will be put up there as well. All of our segments are put up on our YouTube channel. So
that's right.
Check that out. How are you this morning? I haven't had a chance to actually ask you that this morning yet. And we're already almost to the three quarters mark of our local segments.
I'm doing pretty good, actually. Yeah. It's waiting process for the Shakespeare auditions is out, and the waiting is always the hard part, but
that's what Tom Petty once said.
The director was telling us that she should have the cast list up by Thursday. A day I'll be able to find out if I get in the show or not.
You can play that Tom Petty song over and over again. The waiting is the hardest part.
Oh, yeah. Over and over.
Well, good luck. Hopefully you'll get a terrific part and get ready to start the process all over again. Something we start all over again every week is the number for the day quiz. We always start off on Mondays 0 for 0 and then try to get you a passing grade at the very least for the week. So far this week, you are 1 for 2, so you're doing
1 for 2.
Pretty well. So if you get it right today, you'll clinch a passing grade and then try to work your way towards a winning week.
Oh, that would be nice.
But today, the topic, which we'll have at the very end of the show, I'll have our number for the day quiz with Ian.
Okay.
Our topic will be pizza in the United States.
Pizza.
So
I love pizza.
We'll talk about pizza in the final moments of the show.
Oh.
Again, I want to remind folks that coming up tonight, hopefully the rain will hold off, and it looks like there's a pretty good chance of that. We are scheduled for some American Legion softball action as Wausau Post 10 will take on DC Everest Post 492. So, again, American Legion softball tonight, pregame activity starts at 6:20 and the first pitch at 6:30. So again, 6:20 airtime. American Legion Softball, Wausau against EC Everest, right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Coming up, we're going to find out what's going on in the news, both around the country and around the world, around the states, around the area. Get the weather forecast, let you know what the chances are for any precipitation. And then back to Pat Kreitlow. He'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff coming up next. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. We'll be back at 8:52. This is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Don't wake me
tonight. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A Calumet County farmer is suing the Trump administration. Lisa Hale tells us why.
The Conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WIL, filed the lawsuit on behalf of white dairy farmer Adam Faust. The lawsuit alleges the USDA has three programs and policies that discriminate against white male farmers by giving advantages to women and racial minorities. Faust was one of several farmers who successfully sued the Biden administration in 2021. That lawsuit argued race discrimination in the USDA's farmer loan forgiveness plan. WIL has filed dozens of lawsuits in 25 states attacking DEI programs in government.
And some state lawmakers are expressing concerns about proposed legislation to include a plain language explanation for ballot referendums. The legislation specifies that the explanation would be written by the Nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, but could be revised by lawmakers afterwards. Critics of the proposal say the legislative majority could have too much control over the process, and they argue that the language of the legislation fails to define what exactly plain language means, and that it lacks an enforcement mechanism to ensure fairness. And the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the deadline for submitting applications to join the Beaver Management Plan Committee is this week. The agency is seeking organizations that focus on things like trapping, fishing, agriculture, and conservation. The committee will be tasked with providing input to the Department of Natural Resources during the development of the updated beaver management plan. There's more information on the DNR's website, and applications will be accepted until Friday. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Pop singer Neza might have gone to her last Dodger game. At least that's what she says. If you're wondering why, it's because she was told to sing the Star Spangled Banner in English, but decided to sing it in Spanish anyway. This all happened last Saturday on the day of the No Kings protest taking place all over the country. The singer posted a TikTok video of a Dodgers executive telling her to sing it in English and then part of her performance, which was in Spanish. For what it's worth, it was received with enthusiastic applause. The Pit is a hit for Max, and fans of the intense medical drama will be happy to know that season two production is underway. According to Variety, the show stars Noah Wiley as an ER doctor. Sound familiar? It was renewed in February. The Pit takes place at the fictitious Pittsburgh Trauma Medical Hospital. Wiley also executive produces the show alongside John Wells, who executive produced NBC's ER. Season two of The Pit will premiere in January 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and maybe a stray afternoon thunderstorm and a high near 80. A slight storm chance this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, mid-50s. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs near 80. Currently, it's 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station,
and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
In today's edition of our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a story on the Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research as part of our June Dairy Month coverage. All kinds of ways that scientists look at having an impact on the quality, the texture, the flavor of cheese, a cheese's shelf life, marketability, and more. So learn about that. Learn specifically about Colby cheese, part of one of the many that were invented right here in Wisconsin. Also an article about Door County fish boils. We're getting to that season as well. And then up on our website, several stories that you should be checking out as well, including 9 Wisconsin businesses staffed by people living with disabilities, and a recap of some of the best fly fishing spots in Wisconsin. All of that and more on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Remember, if you can't listen to us live, you can pod this program. Listen to us anytime on demand. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Time for our climate check with political strategist Melissa Baldoff, who also had a busy weekend at the state Democratic convention, where her hubs Joe Zepecki will join us tomorrow and talk about the campaign for state party chair. As usual, everybody puts on a unified face for Devin Remeker, but Joe could not have been more gracious in thanking Devin and William Garcia. And Melissa, I think you'd probably add a special thank you to all the folks who helped back Joe during his campaign. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yes, thank you so much to everybody who, supported Joe, of course, but also just everybody who was able to show up and attend the convention. It was a really lovely weekend. And it was, a fun and different experience for me, having been to so many of these as somebody who was a staff person for WISDEMS and helping to put on the convention for a number of years, and then, attending them, with various, bosses or, candidates, clients over the years. And so this was, my first one just kind of going to, but not really just going to, because I was there with my husband running for party office. So it was a little bit different experience all around, but still a good one.
Yeah, very much so. And I had forgotten, and I've done this a couple of times now, showing my age, but the convention moved to a Saturday Sunday format recently. Well, I don't know how recently, but I was used to it being a Friday Saturday thing. And I will take note that former state party chair Mike Tate had a post the other day about that, this was an interesting experiment, but maybe we should revisit the Friday-Saturday format. I'm not going to say one is right or wrong. I don't know if it's preference or logistics or whatever you want to call it. But if it was up to me, I'd still make it more of a Friday-Saturday thing. I don't know if you notice any difference in terms of turnout and, who's
significant,
able to make it.
Significant turnout. Difference. So there were, less than 1,000 votes cast for party chair at this convention. And the last time, 10 years ago, the last time there was a very hotly contested party chair's race, there were like 1,400 mm-hmm. votes cast. So it was a significant drop off. And there was also a big drop off in the number of delegates that registered versus who voted. I agree with Mike Tate that it's, an opportunity to look at, you know, did the old format work better? I know that part of the reason people in the first place wanted to switch to Saturday and Sunday was just concerns maybe about, is that easier for people, you know, than trying to take Friday off of work? But, you know, I think that there's, you know, good points on both sides. Like you said, it's something to look at. I would also say it's something to look at if there are virtual options for attendance, if there are ways that people can, you know, maybe vote for a party chair, you know, at their, you know, congressional level caucus. You know, so, you know, I just think there's a lot we can talk about as a party to be more inclusive, to make this more accessible, because, you know, going away for a weekend in the Dells over Father's Day weekend is not cheap. And, you know, we want to bring in more people. And, you know, if you can't afford to go stay at a resort or a hotel nearby for the weekend, you know, you're priced out of going. If you're maybe somebody who doesn't work, you know, Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job, and you have to work on the weekends, then you're not able to go. If you're a single parent who doesn't have anyone to watch your kids so you can go, you know, those are all things that make it, you know, put up a barrier to people being able to participate in the process. And as Democrats, you know, we believe in making our party more accessible to everybody. And, you know, if we want to bring in more people and get them as a part of the process, I think it's, you know, it's worth conversations.
From Ardith on Facebook, I was sorry to see Joe come up short, but I hope you two will continue to be very visible because I think you are the future of Wisconsin fair and honest government. That was nice of you, Ardith. Thank you for
putting that up. Well, that was very kind to hear. Thank you so much, Ardith.
And not everybody from the family could be a part of the convention because there was split allegiances. There were people that had to get over to Polish Fest, but for good reason, I hear.
Yes, absolutely. So usually our family is at Polish Fest, and usually quite a number of Joe's family is working at Polish Fest. And this year we have royalty in the family. I am so proud of our niece Everett, who is a Little Miss Polish Fest princess. We were so sad that we were not able to be there in person to cheer her on in her pursuit of the crown. But other family was there to be, you know, to support her, cheer her on. We got to see video and are so proud of her and her sister Micah, who was also a runner up in her age group. So we're very proud of our little Polish princesses and look forward to, you know, celebrating Everett's reign alongside her and being at other festivals with the family over the summer.
That is just wonderful. And I do believe German Fest is another big one that you and Joe like to attend.
Absolutely. So anyone who wants to see Joe again, who likes what they've heard and seen from Joe Zepecki, can come find him at German Fest, where he will be, you know, grilling brats.
Yes, again, July 25th, 26th, 27th. So be on the lookout for that. We were talking with Earl Ingram in our last segment about all Summerfest and all the other festivals all summer long in the Milwaukee area. You really do want to check it out. Let's turn our attention to what's happening in politics. And this one's a little unusual because, I mean, obviously, in these climate check segments, we do want to talk about the virtues of things like the Inflation Reduction Act and the tax credits that are going to create a whole new generation of clean energy jobs. So I'm not diminishing those in any way, shape, or form. When I set it up this way, Melissa, to say the House Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill took out a lot of those credits. And also, of course, would do tremendous damage to Medicaid and all these other essential services. Now the bill's over in the Senate, and Senate Republicans there are not at all chagrined about what they're hearing about cuts to Medicaid and other vital programs. In fact, they added more cuts onto Medicaid and things like that, but they did salvage in their bill some of the green energy tax credits, which really tells you something about their priorities. I mean, yes, it's good for the climate, it's good for all that, but I mean, they actually made deeper cuts to Medicaid so that they could preserve some of these clean energy tax credits. It just, it just says something about priorities these days. But I guess we'll take out the good news, take away the good news from it, that these tax credits, have some life support again to create new jobs in Wisconsin and elsewhere.
Yes, but I don't want to give them too much credit here I don't want to. I don't want to say this is good news. I'm going to just say this is slightly worse news.
Yes.
Slightly less worse news. Excuse me. Yeah, slightly less worse news. So they did make some improvements to the House version, but they are still making very significant cuts to solar, wind, and other incentives here. So it's, I would say this is definitely falling short of being supportive of clean energy tax credits. But, you know, there are still some Republicans, Senate Republicans talking about it. And there's still a little bit of time for some movement. And that's why we need people to keep talking to their senators and their members of Congress, because there is still opportunity to make changes here, which I think is the biggest takeaway people should have, that their voices and their advocacy have made a difference so far and can continue to do so. We've got some time. I mean, things are moving. There's that self-imposed July 4th deadline, but there is not a whole lot of room left between now and then for Republicans to meet that deadline. It's, you know, looking more and more likely that they won't make it. So either way, though, the urgency is real, that we need folks reaching out and talking about this and talking about this publicly. What we're seeing from the Senate version is that they still would be phasing out these tax credits. You know, they would just do it a little bit more slowly.
Right.
Which is slightly good news.
Slightly less worse.
Right. But, it really does fall short of, giving people the ability to, take advantage of these credits and improve their resilience, save money, and, boost our economy.
And by the way, just to show that they are still almost entirely in lockstep with Trump's priorities, the EV incentives that are meant to move the U.S. away from fossil fuels, those would be gutted even more rapidly under the Senate bill. So, it is really a case of self-interest, where they see something that we've talked about in this segment before, that a lot of the clean energy jobs being created thanks to these tax credits and the Inflation Reduction Act are actually happening in red states and in red districts at a far greater rate than in districts and states that have Democratic elected officials. And so they're seeing the thing that is, most narrowly in their self-interest and saying, oh, well, we're good with those after all, I guess. But I mean, that's the only reason. It has nothing. There's nothing altruistic about this whatsoever.
No, of course not. There's nothing here that's, doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. The motivation to do the right thing would be to, absolutely protect themselves and their interests. But if we can get something positive out of that, that selfishness, I'll take it. Right. If the outcome is that we get the right policy, whatever the motivation is, I'll take it, but it's not the ideal way to get this done.
No, our theme today, less worse. That's
right.
Sometimes you take what you can get. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. And we will talk again real soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much. Coming up, a local update is next for some of you, followed by Matt and Air on Air with Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining in at about 9:30. For those of you hanging here, we will wrap up the program with some Western and Northern Wisconsin news headlines with James Kelly right here in Chippewa Falls. And tomorrow, Todd Alba, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, Joe Zepecki. Remember, you can follow me over at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Pop Parade!
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:53, 68 degrees. Very mild start under cloudy skies here in downtown Wausau. From our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street downtown. And Ian, I know that as you come in every day and as I come in every day, we notice the construction continuing and getting closer and closer to finally being finished. And it's really
coming along.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see, number one. I mean, we got a lot of the roads already. I mean, they were dug up completely, and now new roads are being put in. And we got actually a new road that's heading over towards the Children's Imaginarium. And then, of course, you got the Foundry on 3rd right across the street, and it's really starting to come into focus.
Yes, it is.
As I was walking in this morning, however, I'm thinking about this as we continue to watch this construction continue. My question is, are we going to see the completion of the construction project here in downtown Wausau before we finally get a resolution in terms of the investigation into whether or not the mayor of Wausau committed any violations when he removed the Dropbox. Because I was looking at the calendar. And it was September the 22nd of 2024 when Mayor Denny put on his hard hat, put on his vest, and went out and moved the Dropbox. And we're at the 18th of June, so coming up on, what, over the weekend, we'll hit the 22nd of June.
So you think, so your question is, will the construction be finished
before?
Before that or after?
Well, I mean, I'm just wondering because it feels like it's taken for, it will be 9 months this weekend since it occurred. And the thing that kind of, again, I'm not saying, again, going after the mayor or anything like that, but it just feels like it's kind of open and shut. You either are able to do it or you're not able to do it. Because it's not a case of where there was anything that was hidden. He went right out there.
There's no evidence and there's no proof because there is.
He took the camera. He took pictures of it thinking that he's able to do it. So
it's on social media.
Either he can do it or he can't do it.
Yeah.
And we've had the Wisconsin Department of Justice investigating it. It appears that the Council Ethics Committee is going to wait and see what the DOJ and the state decides to do. But it just feels like this is taking forever. And I don't understand that. And I go back to something I've talked about over the last couple of years, but actually more in the past, and I haven't really talked about it as much as I should, is the whole idea of equal justice under law. The idea that it feels like, I mean, you look at Donald Trump. I mean, you look at Trump. The man's been convicted of more than 30 felonies. What penalty did he get out of it? Nothing.
No.
Nothing. Not a bit. You know, he's still got those felonies on his record, but he's the president of the United States, which is crazy. But the idea that those that have either political power or financial power or some sort of power that those of us who are not among that class of folks, there's a different sense of justice. And my thought is, if an average citizen had put on a vest and a hard hat and hauled away a Dropbox, it would have moved a lot quicker.
There would have been consequences
quicker
right away.
And this, it just feels as though there's, the longer this kind of stuff drags out, and we saw it during the interim between when Donald Trump left office in January of 2021, and finally when some federal charges were put out for some of the you call shady dealings when it came to either moving classified material to Mar-a-Lago or anything else. Time is the ally of those who are involved in some of these activities, especially if you have resources, if you have the best lawyers, if you're able to spend on millions of dollars on the best legal representation. There is not a even playing field when it comes to, in my opinion, when it comes to law and justice.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about that. I was walking in because I've been noticing how things are moving forward here in downtown, and it just feels like, hey.
It just seems like the longer we wage, the less significant it is.
Yeah, and it just goes away, and people forget about it. And bottom line is, we need to know whether or not the mayor can do that or he can't do that. I mean, that's the bottom line. The mayor says he was able to do it. Others say, no, he was not able to do it. We need to have, ultimately, a decision made so we don't have to go through this ever again. So,
well, do you think the construction will be finished before they make a decision?
I hope not. All right. Well, let's finish things off here this morning with our number for the day quiz. We do that here at the last moments of every show where we give Ian three choices, one of which is our number for the day. He is 1 for 2 so far this week, and based on the math, he should be 1 for 3 or better, which is 33%. So anything above 33% is a passing grade. Anything below 33% is a failing grade.
Yep.
If he gets more right than wrong, it's a winning week. 4 out of 5 is an A grade, and then, of course, always want that perfect week as well, which he's done one time in the past.
Yes.
All right, our number for the day is the price in dollars for the average large pizza at the top 5 U.S. pizza chains as of 2025. So the average price for average a large price pizza at the top five pizza chains in the U.S.
Okay.
All right. Your choices are
Okay. $18.14. $23.14. $28.14.
You know, I'm going to say average price. I'm going to say $18.41. Seems like a reasonable price for a large pizza in those top chain restaurants.
All right.
I'm going to go $18.41.
$18.14.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
$18.14, excuse me.
The price in dollars for the average large pizza at the five top pizza chains in the U.S. is $18.14.
Yes.
2 out of 3. Got a passing grade already.
Awesome.
We'll go for a winning week next tomorrow.
Sounds good.
We'll see you then. Keep it right here on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's supreme leader is threatening irreparable damage if the U.S. gets involved in its six-day-old conflict with Israel. Israelis being advised to stay close to bomb shelters, schools, and non-essential businesses still closed. Tamar Weiss lives near Tel Aviv.
I wish everyone could be down here. I wish everyone would have a place that's as safe as here, because I think this is really the safest place in all of Ramat Gan, the whole city.
President Trump's made no secret of his admiration.
I have a warm spot in my heart for TikTok because I won youth by 34 points.
He's expected to extend the deadline for TikTok's Chinese owner to divest for another 3 months. Wall Street will be watching closely when the Fed meets today. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
What we're looking for from the Federal Reserve is how many interest rate cuts we're going to get this year. They're going to give updated economic projections and just where they see inflation in the labor market going.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.